So who still wants to be a Christian after reading that gospel? Anyone? Anyone? The idea of God's intent for humankind is once again the framework that I'd like to offer as we encounter today's gospel. In today's passage, which immediately follows last week's pericope on salt and light, Jesus addressed some of the most contentious issues of his day. All of them are connected in some way to the law, the ancient rules and commandments of the Jewish people. Because we have to remember that Jesus was not Christian. Jesus was Jewish. And the Holy Scriptures that were pulled together to make our New Testament didn't all come from the same source or in some chronological order. They are a compilation of letters from different authors written over the space of 100 years or more. And these four narrative gospels we have of Jesus' life come from four different writers in four different communities spanning 30 years or more, written down 40 to 70 years after Jesus' death. The writer of Matthew's gospel was writing to a Jewish community, likely in Syria, around the year 90 BCE. Remember, we think Jesus probably died around 30 BCE. And so the lens that this writer used for Jesus in this Jewish community was that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That's clearly what we see in today's reading, where those tenets of the law are extrapolated in such a way as to provide guidance for living righteously daily. You know the Ten Commandments. Here we see some of that reflected. But he says it's not just about don't murder. It's watch out for how your anger breaks your relationships. It's not just about don't commit adultery. It's about watch for how lust for things or people leads you to stray from the vows that you've made. It's not really about divorce as we know it, but about power and the abuse of power over another. Because we have to think in this time, in this very patriarchal society, men had the power, and men could choose to divorce or dismiss a wife with a certificate of divorce for whatever reason they chose. And so for Jesus to shift the responsibility from women and to say that it would be the fault of the men was a radical, radical thing. It's not about swearing, as in cussing or taking the Lord's name in vain. He means taking oaths. And Jesus says, you don't need to take any oaths as long as you are truly honest and truthful. So what does God hope for us in this teaching? What does God want for us? Again, it comes down to living in right relationship with one another. And what does that have to say for us here and now? I'm going to pick one of these. And the one I want to talk about is murder. In his interpretation, Jesus enlarged the frame for understanding this prohibition against murder to distill it down to anger. Anger is common. It's something that we can encounter every day when we distill that emotion even further to the ways that we name anger, like frustrated, irritated, sarcastic, jealous, critical, hurt, selfish, distant. Jesus offered a way out of this spiral of anger. He named it reconciliation, being a peacemaker. If you have a gift to bring before the altar and there realize that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and bring your gift. This is why we share the peace before we come to share the bread and the wine at the table. Sometimes this work of reconciliation needs to be done with others. But just as importantly, sometimes it's work that we need to do by ourselves, with ourselves, and for ourselves. The image of a hardened heart, or a heart of stone, is one that has been rising up in my personal prayer life for a while now. Our hearts harden when we let anger and all those daily variations of it be our lifeblood. When we live on anger, there isn't much room for love, for God, for others, for ourselves. So how do we soften our hearts? I believe it's by repenting, by praying, by reconciling. When we say repent and reconcile, R-E, that beginning prefix, it means to turn, literally to turn around, to change the direction of our hearts and our lives, to return to God, to face that which needs to be faced. All of these things are things that Jesus taught us in ways big and small again and again throughout the scriptures. I found another way. I think perhaps another way that we can soften our hearts is through beauty. Seeking out, finding that which turns our hearts and sets them on fire. Where is it that you find beauty? Is it the view out a window in a loved one's face? Is it a piece of artwork or something that has been made for you or that you've made with your hands? Is it a pet? Is it flowers or a sunset or a walk on a beach? Do you seek beauty regularly? Or does it just sneak up on you? Here's a way that it snuck up on me this week. And so I'd like to close by offering you this poem. Sure enough, God, I haven't murdered anybody, not one. But I have felt it, the heart's assault, the desire to hurt another. My furtive suffocation of their humanity. Gentle my heart, loving one, ease my violence into its grave. Wash my fury clean with compassion to see another as your wounded child. Turn my anger into courage to love. For even the most awful person has a story. A wound, a soul, perhaps so shrunken by fear and pain that it has become a stone, but still a soul, your beloved. Give me wisdom to understand and grace to meet pain and fear with healing, to be angry at injustice but not at people, to resist evil with love, to act boldly, but only with your love. God of resolute gentleness, help me not to murder, even in my heart. Amen.